You are incredible, lady.
Bow down to our queen, Kara. If I'm having a conversation with my grandma about knee replacements, Facebook's listening and it's going to present me with some ads around knee replacements. Great. We freaking love that.
What is the best way for me to capitalize on these new followers? How do I convert them to my email list so that they're not just on Instagram?
Our story reach for this client has dropped from literally 6,000 impressions to 400. We're growing followers on the page, but our reach and impressions on stories keep dropping.
Do you have any advice around niching with something that is so vast in the specialization of values?
Oh my goodness, you guys have the best questions today. We're on fire. Welcome back to the Boss Babe podcast. Okay, this week on the podcast is Society Week. So what I mean by that is Boss Babe membership, the Society, is freaking phenomenal and we deliver so much value in there every single week. So on top of our incredible curriculum, we do weekly coaching calls. We have a template vault with over 50 done for you templates. You name it, we are doing it inside the Society. And I'm like, why are we keeping it all behind there? Because I feel like every time people join, I get messages saying, hey, I know you said the Society was amazing, but I didn't realize to this extent. People are always really, really shocked. And so this week we decided to do Society Week on the podcast because we're in launch right now, which means we are doing a promo. So normally you can only join the Society annually. So it's $997 for the year. So you can only join the Society for that $1,000. Right now, because we're in launch, we're actually opening it up so that you can join the Society monthly for $97. So you can get access to the entire curriculum, join our coaching calls, see the templates and get a real feel for the Society for just $97. So with that, we are letting you into the coaching calls. So this coaching call specifically was me supporting our women with audience growth. So I often host workshops or Q&As. I do these weekly. And this one, people really wanted to talk about content and how to grow their audience. And I know that's always a really hot topic for everyone in the Boss Babe audience. So what I thought was, let's give you free access to one of the calls so you can get a feel of what the coaching calls are like and make a decision of whether you think this would be a really good fit for your business. And again, this is not our curriculum. This is not even our templates. This is literally just what happens on our weekly calls. So with that, here is a taste of our audience growth workshop. I hope you absolutely love it. And if you do want to join us, all of the information is below in the show notes. You to come and join us monthly, but I would love, love, love to see you in there. So with that, let's dive in. Hello, everyone. Got a good one today. This has been so highly requested. We are doing all things audience growth. I'm so excited. Okay, I'm going to get us started and we'll just let people come in as they come in. So what I want to talk about today is audience growth. Now, a resource that I want to share with you that, I've been keeping as a surprise, but I think it's actually in there right now, is I did a keynote for Ultra members in LA last week. So Ultra is Brendan Burchard's mastermind that I collaborate with him and Ed Milette on. And the mastermind is $15,000 to join for the year. And I do trainings inside his mastermind for those $15,000 clients. I did a training on Friday, which was all about how to build an audience, how to grow an audience, how to convert an audience, and dissecting my most profitable funnel that I've ever had in my business. And I've just put the replay inside the Society for all of you. So it's going to be sold to everyone else. The replay is in there for you. Yes. So it's in there right now. I want to keep it as a surprise. So there's the link where you can grab it. It's in there for everyone, monthlies and annuals. It is incredible. That in itself is a $10,000 training, you guys. So also if you watch this and you're like, maybe watching it alone is enough to get you started on building your funnel, which is amazing. If you watch it and you want to build that kind of funnel with me, Fast Track's the place to go. But enjoy. I poured my heart and soul into that. Again, this was delivered to people that are literally paying $15,000 a year. I know we have some Ultra members in here. So yes, enjoy. Very, very excited about that. That training is going to go in a lot of detail around audience growth for you, specifically on what content should I post? What are the different ways that I can build my audience? So a lot of those questions are answered there. So on this call, what I wanted to do was actually hot seat you guys and be able to answer your specific questions. So with that, if you want to drop me in the chat box, I'm going to go one by one and hot seat. So my rules with hot seating is one question per person, and please land the plane with your question because I want to get through as many questions as possible. So they get to be on the audience growth topic. So whether that's how to grow your audience, what kind of content that you want to be posting, and please just one question per person. I'm going to answer some questions. I'm going to teach a little bit. So drop a me in the chat box versus raising hands, because then it allows me to go in order. But one question per person, please land the plane, and please don't ask questions that I already have answered inside of the society, because I just want to make this really valuable for everyone. So first up is Tasnuva. Do you want to, I hope I said your name right. Do you want to unmute? I think you might have to request unmute.
I think I muted. Can you hear me?
Perfect. Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So it seems like some of my posts are really going viral, but then I'm using the similar techniques, but the others are really falling short. So is there any criteria for me to understand, like, these are the few, two or three things that I need to focus and then just repeat and rinse, you know, for virality?
Yeah, that's actually something that I answered in the keynote that just went live for you today. So definitely dive into that. Not only do I answer that, but I actually dissect a lot of viral posts of my own for you and tell you exactly why they go viral to help you think on that. So definitely watch that. And then my second piece of advice is, firstly, that's normal and not every post is going to be a hit. We totally can't expect that. But just go in there and try to analyze why you think some did better than others. Was it the design? Was it the hook? Was it the length, the content, the audio? Inside that training, I'll kind of give you all the criteria to look for. So I would really, really recommend going and analyzing your posts based on that criteria, and then just being okay with knowing not every post is going to be a hit and not every post has to, right? Because we only want viral content to be a certain percentage of our overall content strategy, because if we're not delivering value-based posts as well, we get stuck on the audience roller coaster, which is where you're growing and then declining, growing and declining, because you're growing followers and they're seeing all the viral content, they just leave again. So that is my advice. So definitely watch our training, dissect based on that criteria I give, and then make sure that you're prioritizing brand building content as well.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. I'm so excited for you guys to see that training. I love doing that one. Alice, you want to go next?
Sure. Along the same lines, I recently did some reels that have gone viral, so to speak. And my question is, what is the best way for me to capitalize on these new followers? Not capitalize, but like, how do I convert them to my email list so that they're not just on Instagram?
So definitely doing a reintroduction post and maybe a handful of them. For all the new faces here, here's who I am, here's what I do, with some really great value posts sprinkled in there so they can get a really good idea of what you do and building that authority, because we don't want to get them on our list too early. When they join us from virality, they're generally still very cold. They probably follow without really a sense of who we are or what we do. So we want to warm them up a little bit. And then same thing on the keynote, I'm actually sharing my ManyChat strategy, which I think is the best way to grow your list from social media. So watching that after you've done those introduction posts would be really, really helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Susie, you want to go next?
Hi, thanks, Natalie. So I'm a coach and a consultant and a hypnotherapist, and I'm sort of mixing those things together. My question is about how I'm building my audience on Instagram, and how do I pitch when I've got two very different potential markets at two very different potential price points? I've got the sort of 1 day a month high ticket corporate clients, and then I'm building an audience predominantly for a membership that I want to launch in probably 8 to 12 months time. So how do I do it without coming across as incongruent, because I feel a bit schizophrenic whenever I post or speak about what I'm doing?
Okay, so it's okay to have audience at different revenue and investment levels as long as they're the same demographics. if they're not, the strategy isn't going to work. So for example, let me show you this, which might be really helpful to see. I think this might answer your question. Here's the Boss Babe product ladder, right? So along the bottom, the whole undertone of everything that we do at Boss Babe is to help you build a freedom-based business. And then on the other side, that's the level of support that we offer. So the first two rungs are free. It's the newsletter and the podcast. It's free. Then it's Society. Then it's Fast Track. Then it's CEO Mama. Now this one's $997 a year. This one's going to be $5,000. It's $3,000 right now. It's going to be $5,000. This one's close to $30,000, right? So there's big jumps in all of these. However, build a freedom-based business is the undertone of every single one of these offers, but people are generally at different levels or phases of their life. And so I can very easily talk about these offers to my audience without coming across as incongruent and without coming across as confusing. If yours is different, say you're selling to corporate clients and they need completely different messaging to the audience that's following you, then I don't think you can sell both. I think you should have a very clear sales engine for one audience type and a clear sales engine for another audience type. And so maybe your corporate clients, you're selling B2B, you're actually doing direct reach out or whatever it is. Yeah. And then the audience you've got on Instagram is where you sell your membership. But if the through line isn't the same, we generally can't market and we'll probably end up getting reduced results because of that. Does that help?
Yeah, they're really helpful. Thank you.
Okay. I also just want to share this too while we're on this, because maybe this will be helpful for everyone just to take a look at. When we talk about a sales engine, when we talk about making money, three things have to be in play for a sales engine to actually work and be up and running. And I see a lot of people talking about one or two of these without the third, and it never works. If we don't have all three things playing well together, it never works. So we need a really solid, irresistible offer. We need a funnel that actually works and converts. And then we need the right traffic in there. So when you think about the offer, like making it really irresistible, is it priced well, named well, deliverables, like all the things, then we pull back into the funnel. Okay, when I bring someone into a funnel, basically all I'm thinking is, what do they need to know about my business and my product to make a purchasing decision? That's all. Not, I'm not saying they need to say yes, but what do they need to know about my business and my offer to make a purchasing decision? So I'm pulling back even further. Traffic, okay, then who do I need to attract into this funnel in order to make a sale? And these three things are what creates a sales engine in your business. Now, if you have multiple different offers and multiple different funnels and traffic types, then this is going to differ, right? So I would think about this. If you have multiple offers, think about this for each offer. So that's the way I would think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Very welcome. Okay, Min, do you want to go next?
Yeah. So I had a Instagram back in like 2020 or 2021, and I kind of stopped. Now I am showing myself up. Like a month ago, I started. I did my lunch, and I had like 20 people sign up, right? But that was like through aggressive like Facebook ads and stuff. Now that I'm not running any kind of ads, like I'm not getting any kind of like leads, anyone like signing up. I have like comments, you know, like, oh, DM me this word and I will send you this link, or, you know, comment here below and I'll send you this link. I'm not getting any of it either. So I just don't know what's going on. Do I just need to like run the ad? So I just wanted to hear like your perspective on that.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So again, Keynote's going to be very helpful for you. So what you're sharing here, so let me show this again, because I think this is going to answer your exact question. So when we use the ManyChat example, right? When we're saying comment here for the link, comment. So right now we have a promo going on our reels. If you look, if you comment playbook, we're going to send you into a funnel, right? That only works if this piece is in place. So ManyChat isn't a silver bullet, right? ManyChat isn't going to work if the traffic isn't there. Now, the way that you can create traffic on your social channels is you either already have an audience and you're creating something that you know is really going to resonate with them, which I share how to do inside my keynote. That's one piece of it. Another piece is that you're collaborating with someone who already has an audience, same thing. Another piece of it is that you're maybe sending ads or traffic to it. We have to think about it in terms of that. So where I hear you saying is you've got the offer dialed in, you've got the funnel dialed in, but the traffic piece isn't dialed in. You just need to decide, am I buying traffic? Am I borrowing traffic? Or am I building traffic? And how am I going to maximize whichever one I'm doing? So that's the way I would think about it. There's nothing wrong with paid ads and buying traffic there. Generally, and I talk about this a lot in the keynote too, but building an audience is a longer term strategy. And if that's where you are right now, you might still need to supplement with bought audience or collaborated audience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh my God, this keynote, you guys, I knew it was going to land, but this is answering so many questions that you have. I'm so, so excited. Shows that I know who I'm talking to. I'm like, yes, we have product market fit right here. I'm excited about it. Let's take a minute to talk about one of my favorite educational platforms, Masterclass. I have been referring back to this platform for years, and I love that you can simply log in and take inspirational classes from world-class coaches, no matter where you are. If you haven't explored Masterclass yet, go to masterclass.com/bossbabe and scroll through some of the categories. I think you'll really love what you see. One of the latest classes I tuned into was Anna Winter's class on creativity and leadership. She takes you into her office as Vogue's editor-in-chief, and it was so inspiring to learn about her leadership style, team culture, and how she encourages creativity in her team. Not only does Masterclass have tangible business development classes that you can watch at your desk or listen to on the go, but it also includes classes in 10 other categories ranging from food, home and lifestyle, music, wellness, design, and so much more. There are over 200 classes to choose from, with new classes added every month. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/bossbabe. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/bossbabe, masterclass.com/bossbabe. Marie-Louise, you want to go next?
Hey, okay, I'm loving the questions. Everyone's questions are so fantastic. I can't wait to get in to watch the video. My question has to do with niche, which has to do with messaging and has to do with audience growth, if it's not clear. So my area of expertise is I am a values coach, and you know hands-on how broad values apply to our life. Like, our values apply to our work, our home, our connections, our family, our lifestyle. So niching down is really hard, and I feel like I'm violating the worthiness of values by saying it's just for wellness or just for business, because the program that I have that's been proven over and over again, I've been doing it like 3 years, it gives a very holistic perspective of my clients, so they get ripple effects in other areas and all that kind of stuff. So landing the plane, my question is, do you have any advice around niching with something that is so vast in the specialization of values?
Yes, I absolutely do. And I love this question because I think it's going to resonate with every single person here. I hear that you want to serve so many people, but the harsh truth is, if you speak to everyone, you'll serve absolutely no one. So if you truly want to serve, you have to speak to a certain demographic of people. And so the idea of niching is not saying this course only works for this type of person. This course only serves this kind of person. That's not what you're saying. But showing this again, what you're saying is, so this offer might be, you know, it might serve so many different kinds of people. And you know, whoever lands in this ultimately is going to get a transformation from it. However, to bring a specific person in and to have them understand your work, what you do, and your product, you have to speak directly to them. And so when you're thinking about your funnel, you want to think about there's multiple different questions. Who will this product really serve on a deep level that I feel most well positioned to serve and understand? Who do I know I can reach, right? Because you might think, you know what, I can understand and speak to most people, but I know I can reach this demographic a lot easier than this demographic. You might decide, okay, for this next year, I'm going all in. And when we say traffic, I'm going all in on this one type of person. And it's not niching your product down to say it only works for this, but you have your product and you say it's specifically for this kind of person and here's why. And in your marketing and your languaging, you speak directly to their pain points. We always hear people talking about those 9 whys. You speak down the line of those whys, because if you don't, someone will never fully understand why it's going to support them or how it's going to support them. So the best way, and listen, at every level, you know, when you hit a certain revenue level or a certain number of students in this funnel, you might decide, I'm going to take what worked here, I'm going to duplicate the funnel, and I'm going to tweak the language. The product doesn't need to change, but the funnel itself needs to change. I'm going to tweak it to reach this next set of people. And then you go to the next set of people. But if you just make it too wide in the beginning, people will go to someone else who understands them better, even if their product is shittier than yours, right? They will go to the person that speaks most directly to them. And so because you wanted to be of service to everyone, you actually lost the client. So that's how I would think about it. So think about, which client group can I access the most? Where are my contacts? Where is my audience? And on what level of understanding do I have for a specific kind of people that's going to help me speak to them on a deeper level?
Would you say then, so what I'm hearing then for clarity is that the result doesn't necessarily need to be in an area of life. So the niche doesn't need to be the specific result that's delivered. The niche needs to be the type of person that it's being delivered to, which then I'm not saying it's, you know, men and blah, blah, blah. Like it is specifically, I have niched it down after years of research and seeing which clients I like to serve best, that get the best results with it. So I had a bunch of data with that. So saying that, you know, women entrepreneurs and women corporate professionals that have a little bit more freedom in their life definitely work better for it. So people that plug into shift work, that it's not necessarily as beneficial. It is more women that hold that sort of larger capacity in life and larger autonomy. Would you say that that would be niche enough with the offer given?
It's less about, is that niche enough, and more about how deeply can you speak to that specific demographic? So it's less about like, what's the size of my niche and is this niche enough? It's more, how granular can you get with your messaging? Because that's what's going to get you the client. So beautiful. Understanding them on a deep level, even if, so like I speak to entrepreneurs that want to build a freedom-based business. Is that niche enough? I don't know. But what I do know is that I speak to them on a level that most people don't, because I deeply, deeply understand what they're going through. And that's what will get me the sale over the person that's niched down even more. I want to serve women entrepreneurs to build freedom-based businesses who are currently under $3,000 a month and want to be $10,000, right? Like that is so niched down. I still think my messaging is going to land better because I understand them on a deeper level. So it's more about the messaging than the niche.
Perfect. Thank you. That was very, very helpful. I appreciate that.
You are very, very welcome. Pree, you want to go next? You've got your offer ready to go. I've seen it. You're crushing it. What do you have for us?
So I'm very much in my head right now because I'm like, oh my God, what if no one signs up? Is it going to be embarrassing? All the things. But honestly, like listening to your story and many others, I'm just like, I'm just going to do it. And if one person shows up, one person shows up, and just got to keep going. But my question is, prior to the actual first masterclass, how much of your content should be around general messaging around the subject that you're serving? And then how much of your content should be around the actual masterclass? Because I don't want to piss people off and be like, oh God, there she's talking about that thing again. So yeah. Just any advice on that?
Oh my goodness, you guys have the best questions today. We're on fire. So your messaging should never be general and it never should be about a masterclass. Your messaging should always be about the transformation. The only reason someone's even going to join the masterclass is for the transformation. No one really wants to join my masterclass just to sit and listen to me for 60 minutes. They're like, Natalie, I'm busy. I've got stuff to do. What am I going to learn? What's going to transform for me? What's the value that you're giving? And so all of your messaging should be very detailed around the transformation, whether or not you have a call to action for the masterclass. So if you're creating content that has no call to action and it's purely value-based, you still want to have it around the transformation. You still want to have it around what's possible, the pain points, showing that you understand them. And then, I mean, even if your content's viral, like I know, you know, I talk about the three types of content: content to build your brand, content to grow your audience, content to convert. All three should still always be around the transformation, because then you're attracting and giving value to the people that ultimately are going to convert in the long run. And then when it comes to your masterclass conversion content, the messaging is still around the transformation, but it's got a call to action. It's, I know you want this transformation, and good news, I'm teaching it on this live masterclass, come join. So it's more come do this with me in addition to the messaging than promoting. And if it's done in that way, most people won't get sick of it, because it's exciting. It's like, oh my goodness, she's sharing content that resonates so deeply with me. She's sharing content that's showing something that I really want. And there's a call to action there. So they're more associating you with the transformation than they are with the constant call to action.
That's really helpful. I'm going to watch this back so I can remember it all. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Diana, you want to go next?
Yeah. Natalie, thank you so much for your willingness to do Hot Seat. You are incredible, lady. So I am starting at ground zero. I quit my corporate job to go launch something, and I am so excited, and I'm doing all the things. I'm building my offer. I'm working on all that. At what point, like I went on LinkedIn and said, hey, you all, thousands of you, I am no longer in the software hustle. I am going to go give back to people and teach them how to prepare, avoid, or recover from knee replacement. And then phase two is all the body joints. So start small and expand. I just had both my knees replaced at the same time 4 months ago. So, and my secret sauce is my husband is an orthopedic surgeon. So it's going to be an awesome team. How do I start as I'm building everything at ground zero? And it may be in your keynote. I'm excited to watch it. Do I just start putting helpful learning tidbits out on my personal social media, my LinkedIn social media, and I'm going to build out the knee zone on groups and things like that? But what should I do at this point as I'm building everything to launch in the next 90 days?
Firstly, I love that you're doing this. My grandma had her knees replaced years ago at the same time, and it was absolutely brutal. So I'm so glad you're doing that, because that is not a nice thing to go through. I remember that so much with her. So this is very, very needed. So what's great about what you're doing, which is very different to the conversation that I was just having before, is yours is so specific and so niche. So what you really want to do is get a really good funnel running. So, because we all know, listen, how good ads are. If I'm having a conversation with my grandma about knee replacements, Facebook's listening and it's going to present me with some ads around knee replacement. Great. We freaking love that. So if you have a really, really good funnel dialed in and you're running ads, I mean, listen, it's selling like hotcakes because people need it. So what I'd be focused on, less about the social media and more on the funnel. Okay. And the way that you could do it is, maybe it's a masterclass, maybe it's PDF, whatever it is that sells into your program, but you could be offering this for free to, you know, doctor's offices. Like, can they share it with their mm-hmm. patients? Like, how mm-hmm. can you get in front of those people to offer this live to 10 people, to 20 people, to continue offering this, to dial the funnel in, to then get it going on ads? And I think that strategy would absolutely crush, because it's so niche.
Yep. Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. I would do that more than I would focus on social media, because that requires people to seek you out. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we get this funnel dialed and you get that on ads and you get this, you know, circulated to people that really need it through maybe healthcare professionals, whatever, mm-hmm. That's going to sell way more for you than probably the social will.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Very welcome. I'm so excited that you're doing this. Nicole, you want to go next?
Hi, thank you so much. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. It's been a while. Okay.
Yes, it has. I'm glad you remember me. Thank you
of
so much.
Of course I remember you. It's so good that we're doing this again.
I'd like to get back to my newsletter, because I know I need to continue to grow my audience. I had gotten wonderful responses from previous newsletters. I'm just curious, how do I go back? Do I explain my absence? How much time do I spend on that? I don't want to bring everyone down with my sob story, but I'd like to get back to it and then grow it from there. It only really started. I do have a great very specific niche, which is, you know, beauty and wellness for women who are interested in sustainability and, you know, the environment. So,
well, I'm really glad you're back, and I'm very sorry to hear that, but I'm so glad you're leaning back in. And I'm so grateful that we get to support you. Yeah, so I would just do one newsletter around it. Just one, welcome back, here's how I've been. And you can give us as much or as little detail as you want. Here's where I've been, but I'm really excited to get back. And here's what you can expect from me. So that part at the bottom, that here's what you can expect from me, is going to be really important, because it'll just teach people again to start opening your emails, to start clicking on your emails. And it'll just boost that reconnection. And beyond that, I think you can then just get back into your rhythm again.
Okay.
And, you know, encouraging people to share your newsletter, to bring people into the world with you. But I think you can just leave it at that. And then, you know, if you want to drip in updates every now and then to bring that personal connection, you totally can, but don't feel like you absolutely have to. But I think people will just be happy to see you back in their inbox and know exactly what to expect from you.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
I'm excited for you. Okay, Sandra is up next. Another OG.
Yay! Hi!
Hi. It's the OGs today. I'm here for it.
I know. I'm so excited. So my question, I'm kind of stuck. Our story reach for this client, it's an eco-conscious fashion brand,
has dropped from literally 6,000 impressions to 400. And it's been low enough for a month. And we didn't change the content around much. And we're growing followers on the page, but our reach and impressions on stories keep dropping. So I did a poll, and I asked like what the audience wanted to see, and they came back with two things out of all the things that were posted. So would you focus on those two topics and create content around what they responded they wanted to see? Or is there anything else? Have you heard of this kind of drop before? I'm just shocked because I'm managing multiple accounts and this has never happened to me. So I'm just kind of like, what do I do to get it back up?
Have you stopped posting and taken like a full blackout break and came back?
I did a 24-hour break, and that did increase the reach, only from like 300 to 600, but it was still quite a jump there. Okay. Then I tried to also test it, posting every other day, but that didn't increase it. So it's kind of like the client wants me to push out content, but, you know, they also want people to see their content. So it's kind of this loop now. What do I do? It seems like taking that one break helps a little bit to push it back up, but it's not nearly to what it used to be.
Okay. So I would stop posting on a Thursday, so tomorrow, and I wouldn't post again till Sunday. Sunday is generally the best day for reboosting it. So I would take a full blackout. And then on Sunday, when you prepare your content, prepare something along the lines of what they've shared they want to see, along those lines, but something that really, really is going to generate engagement and responses back. And that should really help you reset. So posting something that you know people are going to want to come back to, they're going to want to reply to you on, I would do it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So take a full break from
full
from
break that. Thursday to Sunday, full Thursday. Blackout. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Claudia, you want to go next?
Hi. I was looking at your keynote the other day, but I still have a lot of trouble understanding viral content and brand content. So I have a podcast, and the podcast does really well, but when it goes to social media, it just doesn't have anything. Like, and I don't have, like, I have time limitations, and I don't want to spend hours doing like social media content because it just goes so fast. So I really want to focus on my podcast and bring that long-term content and be able to spread it out throughout the week. But I spend a ton of time trying to do posts or a reel, and then it just doesn't get anything back to me, like no engagement. So I'm trying to change the call to action and trying to change the hooks and trying to change the music. And I just don't know, like, if I should be more consistent doing two or three things and just post less in Instagram, or what? Like, I'm just, I don't know, but I really want my audience to grow. And I put a lot of time doing my podcast. So I'm just right there.
So cross-platform content generally never does well. So podcast content on Instagram, it generally never ever does well unless it's literally shot and edited just for Instagram. And even then, it's very different because what people are looking for on a podcast platform is very different to what they're looking for on an Instagram platform. So it's very, very normal that it's not getting engagement. If you wanted to post podcast content, I would go and look at 10 people who are doing it really, really well and look at how they're doing it. What you're probably going to see is it's really hypey trailers, all of that kind of thing. You might decide, hey, this doesn't align with me. It's not something I want to post. And so it's either you don't post your podcast content on there, or you just do it in a way that you're like, I don't mind if it doesn't get engagement. Beyond that, if you are wanting to grow and you are wanting to get traction, the best thing I can recommend is what I talked about in that keynote, the 10 by 10 exercise. 10 people that are crushing it with your audience and 10 posts from each of them. Analyzing that and doing that over 100 days, that would be the absolute best way to go about it. But just knowing cross-content platform, it's never really going to do well.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anna, you want to go next?
Yes, hello. Thank you, Natalie. So I'm still in the beginning phase. I'm working my full time and working on my side business where I'm focusing on online service women entrepreneurs who are also busy moms and would like to build their side hustle and reach this first sales. So I'm particularly focused on sales and marketing. So how to market their offers and how to start bringing this first customers into their business. But what I'm struggling with is like, I know their problems, I know what they want, but I feel like I can't reach the depths in my content, or maybe I shall be more specific. It's like I'm talking to generous and I can't understand how deep into a specific topic I shall talk, because sales, it's pretty broad topic to talk about, for example. So, and I building kind of funnel at the moment where I want to bring them to sign up for my free masterclass or download my freebie. And I feel like my content is not converting because maybe it's too generous. So question is here, what is the border on how deep shall I go into the specific I think that is where is my struggle with this online sales, because it's not something I can teach you step one or two, and it feels all too generous for me to, like, I'm talking about in too generous details.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Okay, this is going to be relevant for everyone because going those 9 layers deep, going very, very deep in your messaging is absolutely essential and is going to be the difference between someone that's making sales and someone who isn't making sales. So we can generally think about their pain points. The way that we take it deeper is we think about human needs. And so we think about it on a very niche level, like what are their pain points? Then we go to a psychological level. So Tony Robbins talks about the 6 human needs that are all based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, none of this is new, but it's certainty, it's uncertainty and variety, significance, connection and love, growth, contribution. So what you do, and this is an easy formula, is you think about what your pain point is and you take a look at which human need is this related to. So you want to make sales in your business, could be any one of those things, but let's take it and let's match it with the certainty. Certainty is assurance you can avoid pain and you can gain pleasure. So why, then the why comes in. Why do they want that certainty? Well, they want to know they can pay their bills every month. Why? So we answer that question and you keep asking why and go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it really is just a psychological exercise. It's not going to be the kind of thing that you know the answer to right away and you're like, okay, got it. Yep, let me write the list. It's something that's going to take time to really get into your ideal client's head ideally, you know, if you're writing this from like first person and it's something you've personally experienced, you can write it from that space. And if you and that's going to take a level of vulnerability too. Like I always think that whenever I want to write something that I know is going to connect with my ideal client, I always say, well, you're going to have to get really uncomfortable, Natalie, because you're going to have to tell them about something that, you know, makes you feel really uncomfortable and is vulnerable because you want to connect with them at that emotion level. Mm. What you're talking about is connecting with them at the logical head level. Let's drop and connect to them on their heart level. And that's going to require a level of vulnerability if you've been there. If you haven't, the way to get there is to interview your ideal clients, have those conversations, and create a really safe space for people to open up and ask those levels of why. So it's an easy formula, but it's not easy to carry out. And I always say, you know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, but most people's businesses fail. And this is probably a part of the reason why. So being able to go to that level and go that extra mile is going to set you apart.
Okay, thank you so much. It was very helpful because I could see if I just address the pain points and their goals and dreams, it's not going any further. It's like very generous and not converting anything.
Totally, yeah. And if any of you hear this and you're like, oh, I find it hard starting from a blank page and I need support to help me get there, ChatGPT, go to ChatGPT and say, I help women make sales in the early stages of their business. And based on the 6 human needs that Tony Robbins and Maslow talks about, I think that one of them is certainty. Can you give me some reasons this would be important? And ChatGPT is going to spit out a bunch of content. Your job then is taking that and adding the human and heart to it, which is something ChatGPT can't do. It has not lived your experiences or the experience of your ideal client yet. But you'll take that, you'll add the heart. So you'll get a framework from ChatGPT and then add in your stories. Stories sell because people can tap into the feeling that you had as you're going through that journey. And that's what's really powerful. So that's a great way to not have to start from scratch when you're doing this exercise.
Oh my God, amazing. Thank you so much. I'm excited to try. Thank you.
My pleasure. Camilla, you want to go next?
Yes. Thanks for picking me. So I have 2 niches. So I'm a bit in a, like, what to do, because I'm known as the number 1 pregnancy chiropractor in Hong Kong. And I'm in Denmark now for the 4th year with the babies. So I am starting all over and I have 2 niches. One is helping people basically fall pregnant via fertility treatment by boosting their body and mind, sharing my own story. And the other one is how to recover from C-section. So those are my 2 main niches that I kind of want to go into now. But I've spent the last year removing like 20,000 followers that were inactive or ghost followers or whatever, after having an agency in 2017 help me build my channel. And they got like all these viral posts and all this stuff. And then it grew. But then I had a guy use an algorithm now to remove anyone who hasn't commented or engaged on the last like 100 posts. And that took a year because I didn't want to be shadow banned. So you have to do it manually, like 150 a day. And that's finally done now. I'm down to 6,000 followers. But my question is, then I took 1 month off, blackout, January, like didn't maybe post it twice, something just whatever, personal, nothing with my niche. What do I do now? Like, what's the best thing to do? Because I haven't tried this before. And I feel like now my engagement is like down to like nothing. I have like 4,000 people seeing stuff and maybe 30 likes, which I know likes doesn't matter, but I can tell like, what the fuck, did I just screw up my whole channel? Like, what do I do from here? What's the best step?
Okay.
Yeah.
Couple things. Number 1, take this or leave this, but you'll be more successful if you pick 1 niche.
Yes.
1 niche, 1 product, 1 way of serving that person. Second,
which
I would
one?
Care less about the engagement.
Which one is more interesting?
You need to decide that.
Okay.
Only you can decide.
Okay.
Second, I would stop caring about who's following you, who's engaging with you, any of that stuff, because that also isn't going to really change your results.
Yeah.
What's going to change your results is 1 niche, 1 product, 1 really good funnel. Really dial in your funnel. okay, here's my offer. Here's exactly what it is. Let me reverse engineer what's the funnel. And you can do all of this with the 4 C's training inside of society. What's the qualifier that I'm bringing them in with? What's the conversion event that I know they need to attend? Let me dial all of that in. Then you'll pull back even further. Same thing as of what I was sharing before. But right now, and this is going to go for everyone on the call too, it's so relevant. Right now, you're getting stuck here.
Yeah.
You have two offers. So pick one, reverse engineer the funnel, the 4 C's funnel. What funnel am I creating? And only at that point do you think about the traffic source.
Okay. Yeah, I've done it.
In what way do I want to bring traffic in?
Yeah.
And then put it through the funnel. So that's the answer
okay.
to your question.
Okay, that makes sense. So I start at the wrong place, right? And your account won't get like canceled if you don't post for a month. Like that was what I was, and it's stressing me out. And then it gets my attention away from making my actual product. Okay.
You won't get shadow banned from having followers that don't engage with you, and your account won't get canceled for being inactive for years. Okay. All of that's just a myth.
Great. Thanks so much.
You are very, very welcome. So next person is Meg. You want to go next?
Yes, thanks. Hi, Natalie. My question is a little bit more general about audience retention. So just to give you sort of context, I have a wedding planning business. And so obviously, in the best interest of the bride in this example, once she's married, she technically won't require my services again if, you know, it all goes well on her side. So I was just wondering, in my Instagram sort of feed and content, does it come across too salesy? Because the funnel, obviously, I'm always needing to attract new clients to be able to continue the service. So do I then still consider that I have some existing clients and things around on my feed, or do I sort of just acknowledge that they will come along and watch other weddings that happen? I was just wondering, I know obviously Boss Babe has a suite of products and the idea is that you sort of move people along that process, but I'm just not sure there is another service offering after someone has, you know, had their wedding. So do I, just generally, what's your opinion on constantly having to fill in the funnel from the top, because that's quite exhausting. And I just don't want my feed to look like it's a constant sales page.
Oh my God, I love this question, because some people think they're at a disadvantage by having an offer that in a business that people, it's kind of one and done and it's a season of life thing. So the best way I can answer this with an example is this is how to do it really freaking well. And this is how to conquer the space. Because I'm like, success leaves clues. So who's heard of taking care of babies? She is our queen, my friends. She is our queen. And she's very specifically for mums with babies and toddlers, right? So once your child surpasses the age of 4, you no longer need Cara's support. So go and study her Instagram, because she absolutely crushes being able to deliver so much value to a person at that stage of their life and the season that they're in, and selling in such a great way. She's built an amazing audience around it. And then generally, once people's children hits 4, they transfer out and they'll like probably stop following her. They won't be buying from her. So that's how I would think about it. She has people come in, buy one thing generally from her, and then they're out again. So this is just proof how it can be done. Now we'll just go and study how Cara does it, because she does it really, really well. And her content, it's so well done that it gets served to people at the right time. So we all know when we go on an explore page, we are served the content that's relevant to us. So when my baby wasn't sleeping through the night, I'm getting all of her content. I'm following her. I'm buying from her. Yours is going to be very similar, but just for a different demographic. So she's the best example of how to do it. And her content's amazing. So I would go study Cara.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll do that straight after. Thanks.
She's so good. Yeah, Juliet, Cara is the one. Yeah, Camilla, you should study Cara as well. She's amazing. Oh my God, everyone's like, I need her. Listen, I wish I had an affiliate link for Cara, because through CEO Mama, I think I've sold every single woman and taken care of babies. But she's such a great example of doing one thing so well. Like, her niche is so specific. She sells one thing. It is not high ticket, and her funnel is so dialed in. I mean, it's just a course in mastery. marketing mastery. So even if you're not a mom, even if you've got kids that are 20, maybe go through the funnel and check it out how she's doing it, because she's speaking so directly to a demographic. And do you know what else? Listen, I'm going to get on my high horse here. So sometimes we think we out evolve our business because we out evolve our client. Oh, I can't relate to the early stage business owner anymore because I'm not there. I get so bored talking about that product. I'm past that life stage. Tara has adult children and she's still talking about newborn sleep. And I just think, wow, that is a crash course in absolute mastery. James Wedmore says this all the time. He's like, you need to figure out how to not get bored of your business. James is the absolute king at selling one thing really, really well. Obviously, he has maybe three or four products in his suite, but he's known for one thing. My podcast with him, it was the same thing. He's like, you're bored by your business? Oh, boo-hoo. Go and reignite your energy again. And I like desperately needed to be given that pep talk. And Cara is like one of those people that I keep coming back to of like, she's nailed this. She's got adult children. She's still able to talk about that. I know, Meg, I'm like fully going on a tangent now of just like loving Cara, but she is just such an example of mastery in this business. So I love studying her. I love finding people that are crushing it like that and studying Cara, taking Cara, baby, so smart. I mean, she is our queen. James Wedmore, I did a podcast series with him. He's awesome. But he was talking about that too, of how people often create new offers because they get so bored. Oh, I'm bored of this. I need a new offer. I'm bored of it. And he's like, that is literally a recipe for failure in your business. I'm like, so anyway, hopefully that helps, because it really, really helped me. And I absolutely loved how he talks about it. But oh my God, you guys, love this call. These are such good questions.